Well, we teased it last segment. You now should know what this music means. It means Jason Wilde's joining us here on Kyle Bruston Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Let's get right into it. Jason, welcome into the show.
Sorry to keep you guys waiting, but it's all Matt LaFleur's fault. He was late for his 3 o'clock press conference.
I noticed that when the tweets started coming in. I was like, that's a little bit later than he normally starts. But, Jason, we got to start with the David Bakhtiari, I don't know, soap opera now that we're getting into.
Saga.
Yeah, saga is a good one.
I'm calling it a saga.
The biggest thing that I have a question for you is, if Matt LaFleur is saying that he had swelling in his knee and it wasn't the turf, why didn't he just say that yesterday?
That's a great question. Because I don't think they know what to say at this point. I don't think they know how to tell the truth without possibly making their player look bad. Again, we still don't have clarity. Like, Rashid Walker told us that David Bakhtiari told him that he was going to be starting on Sunday, on Saturday night. So if Bakhtiari already knew on Saturday that he wasn't playing, and we never even got to this question with LaFleur today, well then, when did you know he wasn't going to be playing? Right, so Domofsky asked the first question, and he gave the answer about swelling. And then I said, so wait, so are you telling me that if the game had been played at Lambeau, he would have played? And if you notice, his answer was not exactly clear. And so, like, I feel like they're protecting their player who is working through exactly under what circumstances his knee is good enough to play. Like, let's take turf out of it for a moment. They play on Sunday against the Saints, and then they play 4 days later on Thursday Night Football. How in God's name, if he had swelling from playing on Sunday in Chicago that prevented him from being ready to play this Sunday as in yesterday, then how on earth is he going to be ready to play back-to-back games on grass at Lambeau Field in a four-day span? I don't think he can.
It's a fantastic question. And, like, if we could bring turf back in it for a second, I believe I read something from Elton Jenkins that he believes that turf was involved. Do you think that is this is a mental thing now that is going across, like, the team?
I mean, look, Elton Jenkins hurt his knee at least in part, because A.J. Dillon fell on him. That's what happened on the play. And then he stayed in for another play or two, and then he scored a touchdown, I think, on the next play, if I remember right. I'm not saying it's psychological, but once you're actually injured, then maybe the psychology is, okay, I think turf had something to do with it. Like, you know, Elton got hurt in Arizona when he tore his ACL in 2021. In Arizona, they move in the grass field into State Farm Stadium from outside. So it wasn't on turf, but, you know, there's crappy grass fields too, right? Like, Chicago was legendarily bad, and they actually changed their grass this year and was meaningfully improved. Like, players were actually talking after the game about how good the grass was at Soldier Field last Sunday, and I don't know if I've ever heard a player say that about the grass at Soldier Field. So, again, I'm not a turfologist. I don't know if Elton Jenkins suffers the exact same knee injury if A.J. Dillon falls on him from the exact same angle on the exact same play, but he does it on grass. But I do know this. When David Bakhtiari is not in the lineup and then you lose Elton Jenkins, you lose two guys that have 5 All-Pros and, like, 7 Pro Bowl appearances between them. And you're not going to be as good.
And a lot of money spent on it.
In A.J. Dillon's case, you know, I don't think he was god-awful yesterday, but there were a couple of crucial plays where he didn't get it done.
Yeah,
I was talking to him in the locker room today, and he got up over his toes on the 3rd-and-1 play where he stumbled. And that's a perfect example of what happens when your fundamentals aren't quite right. I asked LaFleur about it. Like, he got out of balance and he tripped and fell, and that's a crucial play in the game.
Jason,
you're making a lot of different noises.
No,
here,
because Jason knows I was on the AJ Dillon bandwagon. I was on the hype, Jason. I am off. Like, I have jumped all the way off of that bandwagon after watching him stumble when we really needed him yesterday, Jason. So, I mean, my question wasn't going to lead to that, but I just got to ask. So, at this point, do you sense anything with the Green Bay Packers and A.J. Dillon? Was there any disappointment at all from A.J. or from Matt LaFleur? Or were you seeing anything where they may not have the same confidence?
No, they're both. I mean, LaFleur's clearly disappointed in some of those plays. And, you know, nobody – here's the thing. Nobody feels worse than A.J. Dillon, right? Like, no matter – how down you might be on him, he's even more down on himself. Like, and my point with him was, and my conversation with him in the locker room, I mean, he did do some good things. Like, your belief in him, there were times during the game where it was rewarded, right? There were multiple times where he carried the pile with him, which is what you want from your big bruising running back. That should be his signature. And there were times he did it. But, you know, if you look at the third and one play where he stumbles, and then obviously they have the fourth and one play where it's the phantom quarterback sneak because Jordan Love said the wrong word. But if you look at that third down play, you know, I'm not sure, even if he doesn't trip and fall, I'm not sure he gets that. Because Royce Newman, who is in at left guard in place of the injured Elgton Jenkins, he didn't block anybody. And so is that A.J. Dillon's fault? I mean, yeah, it's his fault for tripping. But is it also, to some degree, the blocking? Absolutely it is. So, it's never just one guy's fault. I would have loved to have seen that play be blocked better and A.J. Dillon not trip and fall, because then there's no doubt in my mind they get the 1 yard that they need to get the first down. But they didn't, and then, you know, I don't know why people aren't more irritated or blown away by the fourth down play. Like, you know, I'm not a Jordan Love fanboy by any means, but I am definitely very positive about him. And he's not a rookie. He's a fourth-year player, and even though he's a first-year starter. And for him to forget the word that he was supposed to say to let everyone know that he was running the sneak, and for him to, according to him, say the wrong word so nobody moved, and he went and did a quarterback sneak without the ball in his hand, I mean, that's a pretty big mistake, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, Brad Norman said he's never seen it before.
Never seen that before.
Yeah, and Brad's seen a lot.
Seen a lot.
As we're joined here by Jason Wilde on Kyle Brusa-Nortman, KBN across ESPN Wisconsin.
Jason, a lot of discussion here about the defense, and here we go again, 2022 Packers and Joe Barry game plan rearing its ugly head again. How long is the leash that Joe Barry is on right now?
Yeah, I think it's long enough that it's hard for me to imagine them making a change in season. And I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about, you know, during the second half of the year or whatever. I mean, look, they did not have a whole lot of answers for a really good running game. I mean, Joe Barry did try some different things, right? He brought in an extra inside linebacker at times. He brought in an extra defensive lineman at times. Other times, you know, they actually had two down linemen. They were running against nickel, which didn't make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, from the cheap seats, it's easy to say, well, my game plan would have been dare Desmond Ridder to beat me. And if he does, tip your cap to him. But, you know, sell out to stop Algier and Bijan Robinson and say, we don't think their quarterback can beat us. And if he does, and look, as Tausch pointed out this morning, that was a game plan against a team like that, against Tennessee a year ago. And Ryan Tannehill threw for like 8,000 yards in the game. So, yeah, hey, great job. You stopped Derrick Henry, but you still lost. So, I think being a defensive coordinator in the NFL, whether you're in Green Bay or anywhere else, is a really difficult job because no one's ever happy because you never shut anybody out. But the criticism for him is not without merit. And again, they, you know, they missed a bunch of tackles. There's plenty of reasons to be critical of the players too, but Joe Barry is certainly a lightning rod. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I put my blame on LaFleur because he chose to bring his friend back, and this is what you're going to get. But how should Packer fans trust Matt LaFleur in in-game situations? Because now this is back-to-back games where he did not use a timeout, where he probably should have. First half against the Bears. And now, I believe in the press conference you guys had, he mentioned he wishes he called a timeout so they could get a 51-yard field goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I'm not absolving him here, but I think he also was in a little bit of shock that you guys ever see in Bull Durham? There's the scene where the manager throws the bats into the shower and he's calling them lollygaggers. You lollygag to first base. The two, and Brad, this would be your area of expertise. The holder and the kicker are both rookies. And LaFleur said that they were approaching that kick like it was a kick during practice. They lollygag.
Can't have that. Bad look for specialists.
You can't do that. And I think he was surprised, and that's on him for not calling the timeout, but I think he was surprised that they weren't doing the urgency that was required.
Jason, thank you for the time. We're up against it, and look forward to chatting with you on Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch from